The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
The Minister for Foreign Affairs and Defence, Helen McEntee, joins us. Good afternoon, Minister.
Good afternoon, Shane. Hi, Ciara, as well.
Can you start by bringing us up to speed on Irish citizens in the Middle East? I suppose there's two different categories. There's the many thousands of Irish people who live in the Middle East, and then there's people who are on holidays transiting through the Middle East, getting home. What is the situation in relation to that at the moment?
Well, look, as you've said, I suppose what we're looking at them in is almost three categories. So you have the people who are living there, who are resident there. And of course, when you think of the Gulf region, the UAE, there are most of our citizens there, potentially around 15,000. You look at then the wider region as well. You have many people working and then obviously a much smaller cohort who are in Israel and then a much smaller number as well in Iran. You have people who are on holidays and then you have those who are in transit. So coming back from whether it's Australia, Asia or else people who are heading out to those further afield countries. What we are doing at the moment is urging and encouraging people to register, and this is to make sure that we have as complete a picture as possible. So there are anywhere up to 22,000 of those people in all of those three categories, and we have that based on those who've registered already that are living in the region. In the last 2 days, obviously more people are registering, but we're also engaging directly with the airlines, and there are three that would generally fly directly to Dublin, and they've been able to tell us, I suppose, the figures that they had, people who are on their flight lists that were coming in transit and that were due to fly home, you know, over the weekend and in the coming days. So that's where we're getting our picture from. At the moment, I think, as people will be aware, there are very limited flights exiting from the region. Up until today, there was nothing travelling over the weekend. But this morning, there were a small number of flights that flew out of the airport in Abu Dhabi. There were four flights, to be exact. And my understanding is that there are another nine or so planned in the coming days. So, of course, our priority is to make sure that where we can, that there are Irish people on these flights, and also where we can, that some of these would potentially fly directly to Dublin. Beyond that, and I appreciate that this is very difficult for people, be it those who are in the region, be it those who are stuck and even those who are resident, but also for families at home here to know what to do, because the safety advice hasn't changed. The safety advice, and we're basing this on the intelligence we're getting from within the region, from the authorities and the government in the UAE, and that is to stay where they are and to shelter unless they get contacted by their airline, unless they're told that they are on a flight or that there's a flight available for them to leave on. And this is the same advice that every other country is giving to their citizens. And on a call with all of my colleagues yesterday, you know, we're all discussing now, how do we make sure that we're coordinating? How do we make sure that as options become available, that we're working together? And how do we make sure that we can communicate that effectively? Because what I don't want to start happening is for people to hear, you know, such and such a country or an airline is moving, why are we not moving with them? So we all need to be coordinating together and collectively.
I know it hasn't arisen. It won't have arisen yet because, as you say, the airports have been closed. I mean, would you look at the option of chartering flights if necessary to get Irish citizens home?
Absolutely. And that's something that we're doing. So at the moment, it's not possible for us to charter flights, even in, say, the Abu Dhabi airport, because the likelihood of getting flights in is limited at the moment. So these are flights where the planes are on the ground and able to leave. What we are looking at, though, and this is, again, people will be aware, something that's been discussed, the Muscat Airport in Oman is open and there are a small number of flights leaving from there. So we are looking and engaging with airlines on the ground to see if we can get citizens there. Can we charter a flight? And that is active and we're working on that at the moment. It is a long journey. And while some and a small number of people are taking the journey themselves now at the moment, it is potentially over an 8-hour journey to get to the border, to get through the border, to get to the airport. And we know that the situation is changing. So we need to make sure that if we are taking that route, that it is safe, that we are supported. And that's why the engagement with all of our colleagues in the EU and within the region is really important in that regard. So anything that we're doing and that they're doing, that we know it will be safe, that will be protected. And that at the end of the day, when we get to the airports, they're active and they're running, and the flights are going as well.
Minister, and I know nothing has been decided yet, does that mean you would still be some days off making a final decision on chartering flights?
So, I mean, we are actively engaged in that at the moment. So, as soon as is possible would be my preference. So, I can't give you a time frame of it, but
Sure.
we're actively engaged on what would be needed. What's important here as well, because you'll appreciate for a country of our size, we still have quite a large population, not just on holidays, but resident there. So, we are looking at, and sorry, actively working on already a list or a master list to make sure that we can identify who we need to evacuate first. So, there are already people who are making calls to our crisis centre and helpline. Based on those calls, based on the information that our embassies have on the ground, we have a list of those who we would see as being vulnerable. It might be because of their age, it might be for health reasons. So they are our priority.
Okay.
Beyond that, then, those who are on holidays who don't have a permanent residence, they are our next priority. Those who are in transit, we're working with the airlines to make sure that they can continue to support them because they're coming through with the airline, and many of the airlines are putting people up in accommodation and supporting them in that regard. So we're working through who do we support, how do we identify those who need to get out first and who need to get out most, how do we then work through that list while at the same time making sure that everything we're doing here is safe for people.
The other group of Irish citizens, of course, in the area are our soldiers in Lebanon. Are you concerned about them given the attacks in the last 24 hours on Lebanon?
I mean, of course, I think that the whole situation is concerning. And now we've seen Hezbollah respond and the Israeli army then respond as well. So I've just come from a meeting with the Chief of the Defence Forces, and he has assured me and assured our government that the three battalions that are there, they are safe. They are all accounted for. They are moving in various different stages of what's called groundhog, where they're underground essentially and in a bunker, so to speak, to then being above ground. They're not on patrols at the moment, but that may change depending on the situation and everything that they do. It's directed by our UNIFIL HQ and making sure that everybody is safe and working together. So it's not just the Irish team, it's the Polish battalion that's there, it's the Italian, it's the French. So they are there and on the ground. There's no intention to remove them at the moment. But of course, this has to be kept under consideration at all times. But I'm assured that they are safe, that everybody is accounted for, and that they're taking the necessary steps to make sure that that continues.
Does the Irish government support Donald Trump and the strikes that he has taken and Israel have taken against Iran?
Well, I hope that I've been clear in saying that this is not the course of action that we would have preferred. Having been in the region only recently, I can say that this is what people dreaded the most, that there would be an escalation of violence. At the same time, what's very clear is that we have a regime in Iran that has, for decades, not just in the last couple of weeks where we've seen them quite literally slaughter their citizens, they have for decades brutalized and terrorized their own citizens and communities. So what has happened here has been in response to that. At the same time, our focus and my focus and our priority in government is to prevent this from escalating further, to try and pull things back, to stop, I suppose, those who feel they need to retaliate from retaliating. And, you know, that is a challenge in itself. Now, I spoke to the foreign minister from the UAE yesterday, and they have literally withstood bombardment and rockets for the past 48 hours, and there will come a point in time where they feel they need to retaliate. So my focus and priority is trying to engage with our colleagues on the ground to prevent this from escalating further, and of course to make sure that our citizens are safe. But
Yeah.
I mean,
I mean,
what is
look, I
happening in
under
the region and the destabilization when we talk about whether it's Syria, whether it's what's happening in Lebanon, whether it's Iran, whether it's more broadly, so much of this is because of the regime in Iran who are supplying Hezbollah, who are supplying the
Yeah.
Houthis, who are supplying Hamas, that caused so much of the devastation that's happening now
Okay.
on the ground
Can
in
I ask
Gaza.
you then,
So
do you think what
there is
Donald,
a response that's needed here.
and is that response in keeping with international law? Because that is the key question. Do you believe what Donald Trump and Israel did is in keeping with international law?
Well, it's clear that it didn't have a UN mandate. It's clear that it didn't have the support of Congress in the US, and that is the approach that is supposed to be taken.
So
So,
it's
I mean, there's a
illegal then.
no, it, well, it's concerning that this is the approach that's been taken, but what's also clear is
It's a bit
that
more
we've
than
seen some of
concerning,
our.
though, Minister, isn't it? And look, I know you're in a difficult position, and it's you have to maintain a balance, but it is a bit more than concerning. They've thrown international law in the bin. They've resorted to gunboat diplomacy from the 19th century. Might is right.
So if you can imagine the conversations that I'm happening, not just at a European, but an international level at the moment, are all focused on how we can improve and update and protect the international structures that have kept us at peace for so many years, but that are simply not working in the way that they should. There is a need to update our international laws, the UN Charter, the UN Security Council, how it operates. I'm not saying that this is what we wanted to happen. I'm very clear in saying this is exactly the opposite to what we wanted to happen. But we do have to ask ourselves, how do we respond to a regime that has for decades brutalized its people? Do we step back, or do we, you know, do we try and make a difference here? Now, Ireland's approach will always be to approach this through peace.
Would you like to see regime change? Would you like to see regime change in Iran?
What I'd like to see is the people of Iran determine their own future. And, you know, I came home from a conference recently, the Munich Security Conference, and on the way home, I met two young women on the bus transport to the plane that we were getting on. They were living in Ireland. They're from Iran. They had travelled over to protest. They are sitting here looking at their family members, their friends, being brutalised, being killed, being put in prison
because
they cannot determine their own future.
But Donald Trump is,
sending them in to be able to decide their own future.
And I think Donald Trump would say the same thing, Minister. He's sending them into the lines. Then he's calling on them to rise up against the regime there. That is sending them potentially to their deaths. That is a very dangerous course of action by the US president.
What I want is for the people of Iran to be able to determine their own future. And I cannot speak for them. I can say that there are many people who welcome what has happened in Iran because they feel there were no other options available to them. I know that there are people who do not welcome what has happened. What I want is a situation whereby the people of Iran are able to determine their own future. And at the moment, that's simply not possible. I am, and I'm sorry to use the word, but it is beyond concerning. It is devastating, the implications that this may now have for the wider region and the implications we're already seeing, not just in the UAE, but broader than that in the Gulf as well. That is why our focus and priority is to de-escalate this, to pull it back, to prevent things from getting worse.
Is there an argument, though, in doing that? And I know these things are nuanced, Minister, and I know you have to maintain a balance, but is there an argument at some point to say, actually, this is wrong? To condemn this and say it's wrong, and actually, you know what, we're not going to go to the White House, for example. At what point do we reach that stage with Donald Trump where he shows such blatant disregard for international law and we have to, I suppose, suck it up? I mean, is there an argument for saying this is a point too far and this should be condemned?
Well, my own view on the visit to the White House is that this is something that has been in place for many years, and it's an opportunity, as I said earlier today, not to say hello and to talk about our economy and to talk about our ties. It's to do that, but it's also an opportunity for Ireland as a small country to be able to raise these types of issues and concerns and to make our point and our view very clearly known. And we have done that in the past, and I think we have done that very effectively, and I think we have an opportunity to do the same here. We're also at the same time, whether it's in my Foreign Affairs Council where I met with colleagues yesterday, whether it's any other four that we have, making it very clear that we do not believe a course of action which inflicts greater levels of violence and instability in the region is the right course of action. And we will continue to use our voice in however we can to call for restraint and to ask for people to take the other path. The discussions did not bear fruit in the recent weeks gone past between the US and Iran. That's not to say that they can't. So that will be our focus and our priority, to try and be the voice of reason with others as well, to bring people back to the table.
Two quick things before we let you go that are not in your direct bailiwick, but more governmental questions. The IFA action in relation to Bourbia and their protest at Bourbia over the chairmanship of Larry Mearn. Your reaction to today's events?
Look, I think the only way that you can resolve any type of disagreement or difference of view or opinion as to what we should do, whether it's between government agencies or with individual groups, it's by everybody getting around the table and finding a way forward and a solution here. And that has been the approach that my colleague, the Minister for Agriculture, Martin Hayden, has taken throughout this. And I would encourage everybody to get around the table to try and resolve this situation. That is the only way forward. That is always, whether we're talking about the issue we've just discussed or whether we're talking about this, getting around the table.
You still support, I mean, the government still supports Larry Murren, I take it?
Look, again, a decision was taken by the board themselves. I'm not going to interfere in that. What I'm saying is, where there is a conflict or a difference of opinion on things, people need to get round the table.
Okay, I have always that's a less than wholehearted endorsement of Larry Murren, though, I have to say, Minister.
He was appointed. He's in that position, and the board have made a decision, and I stand by that decision. But again, I think if there are still issues that need to be resolved, people need to come round the table. And I think at the end of the day, I mean, I'm from a farming and a rural community myself. I will always support our farmers and our rural communities. But we need to make sure that where there are differences of opinions and difference,
are you trying to keep a foot in both? Are you trying to keep a foot in both camps here, Minister? It sounds like you are. Because a lot of people would say the action of the IFA is completely, including my understanding is people in the agri community are saying the action of the IFA is completely unwarranted and over the top.
Well, I don't think I can be any clearer on this. People need to come around the table, and where there are still differences of opinions, they need to resolve them by talking and by engaging. Every effort has been made from the government's point of view and from the minister's point of view to offer that engagement, and I think people need to take them up on that.
Okay, just very lastly, will the government back Phil Hogan's bid to become head of the Food and Agriculture Organization of the UN?
My understanding is that process is still ongoing. So until a name comes to government or to be agreed, obviously it's an independent process, and whatever name comes forward, I will of course support them. And if it's Phil Hogan, I will support Phil Hogan. If it's somebody else, I will support that other person too.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Thank you indeed for talking to us, Helen McEntee, Minister for Foreign Affairs and Defence.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.